Genesis chapter 1 and also the book of Romans chapter 8. Genesis chapter 1, Romans chapter 8. Genesis 1, we'll read the 31st verse. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Genesis chapter 1, of course, is the God-inspired record of the creation account, leading up to our text verse in verse 31. We read in verse 4, it was good. Verse 10, God saw that it was good. Verse 12, God saw that it was good. Read the same thing in verse 18, verse 21, verse 25. We read in our text verse, after God had created everything, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. So perfect, holy, and righteous God looks upon all of his creation, and it was very good. Think upon those words, very good. It means that creation was exceedingly, exceptionally, immensely, remarkably good, or excellent, marvelous, honorable, appropriate, agreeable, and healthy. God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Everything was properly arranged. The mode of existence was very good. The manner of propagation was very good. The mode of sustenance for his creation was very good. It was very good. There was nothing to be added. There was nothing to be diminished. Behold, it was very good. Oh, what a world. What a world. We read in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29, God hath made man upright. That is, God made man honorable, law-abiding, right-minded, and virtuous. That's how God made him. Genesis 2 enlarges upon the creation of man. The creation of man is recorded there in Genesis 1. But God, it is enlarged upon in Genesis 2, where we see the creation of male and female. And we see them in the garden of God. The whole earth was good. But God made a special garden for man's joy. It was called Eden. And it was an unimaginable, beautiful place. It was a place of pleasure, pure pleasure. A place of pure delight. This garden was immense. When you think of a garden, don't think of the garden that's in your yard. This was an immense garden. It had a river. And that river broke off into four rivers. This is an immense place. There was harmony between Adam and Eve. There was harmony between Adam and Eve and God. There was harmony, there was peace, there was joy, there was no unhappiness. It is a state of perfection. In that garden, Adam and Eve walk with God. They are in communion with God. In that garden, Adam and Eve are naked, but they are unashamed. There is no guilt. And the reason for that is because there were no evil thoughts. Their thoughts at this time were pure. Their thoughts were God-honoring. Their thoughts were God-exalting. Their perspective was God's perspective. There was no evil in their minds. There was no evil in their actions. And God saw everything that He made. And behold, it was very good. There was no disorder. There was no chaos. There was no conflict. There was no struggle. There was no pain. There was no disease. There was no decline. There was no death. Again, what a world. But then we come to Romans 8, verse 22. We read that statement, "The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." This is the polar opposite of what we read in Genesis 1, verse 31. We read here in Romans 8:22, "The whole world groaneth." That refers to a condition of pain, a condition of sorrow. It is a word that is used to refer to the cry of someone who is in a very dreadful and impossible situation. The word travaileth has reference to that which is very intense and continued. It is intense and continued trial. Tribulation, trouble, hardship, stress, struggle. The word travail is struggle. There's a struggle. The whole creation travaileth, is in a state of struggle. Now you notice here in Romans 8:22 that this groaning and travailing is universal. The whole creation. And every aspect is collectively in a state of suffering. He goes on to speak of God's people also groan and travail in this world. Notice Paul speaking of this condition in Romans 8:22 says, "Until now." That is, up to this time. So he's speaking of a continual state. Not only a continual state, but a progressive state. So reading our text verses, we have, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the whole earth groaneth and travaileth in pain until now." What a change. What a dramatic change. And that's what we want to speak upon this morning. From very good to groaning and travail. I want to look first of all at this change. Then we want to look at the cause. And then we want to look at the remedy. Again, Genesis 1, verse 31, considering the change, God saw everything that He made. And behold, it was very good. We have the creation of man enlarged upon in chapter 2. We come to Genesis chapter 3. And we see Adam and Eve are now ashamed. And they feel guilt. And they're trying to flee and trying to hide from God. This progresses throughout the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 4, there is anger. There is jealousy. And there is murder. Cain killed his brother, Abel. In Genesis 4 and verse 19, there is polygamy. There is polygamy. And notice in Genesis 4, verse 23, and Lamech said unto his wives. So we have polygamy. Genesis 5 is a genealogy chapter. And throughout that genealogy, you read the words, and he died. We see those words 8 times. Coming to Genesis 6, if you turn there, verse 2, the sons of God, I believe that's the saved, saw the daughters of men, I believe that's the lost, and they were fair, and they took them wives, all which they chose. You have intermarriage there between saved and unsaved. Verse 5, and God saw, and keep in mind Genesis 1, verse 31. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. Quite a change from Genesis 1, 31. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. As a result, we know that God sends a worldwide flood that kills everybody except Noah and his family, 8 people. Again, quite a change from Genesis 1, verse 31. If you follow the story into Genesis chapter 9, you see that the water subsides. You only have Noah and his family, and they are basically given a second chance. And God commands them in Genesis 9 and verse 1, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So man is given a second chance. By the time you get to the end of chapter 9, Noah is drunk. Didn't take long. And he is sexually exposed. In Genesis chapter 10, you have more genealogy. And then in Genesis chapter 11, you read of strife and confusion. Chapter 12, there's lying because of a lack of trust in God. Chapter 13, there is strife between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot, which ended up resulting in a family separation. And you see Lot pitching his tent towards Sodom. Chapter 14, there is war. chapter 16, you see Sarah, the wife of Abraham, Abram, telling him to have sexual relations with Hagar. You have an adulterous act which produced a son and brought great chaos into that family, resulting in cruelty toward Hagar. In Genesis chapter 19, there is homosexual activity. And at the end of the chapter, you see Lot committing incest with his daughters. In Genesis 22 and 24, we've already seen polygamy. But coming to Genesis 22, 24, you read of a concubine. In chapter 26, there's famine. In chapter 26, there's also more lying. This time by Isaac, who was simply following the pattern of his father Abraham. Also in chapter 26, there's disagreement. And there's an altercation. Chapter 27, there's deception. In chapter 29, there's betrayal and deception. In chapter 30, you have rage, you have adultery, and you have more polygamy. In chapter 31, you have deception, theft, idolatry, anger, ruthlessness, and hatred. In chapter 34, there is rape, there is mass murder, there is looting. In chapter 35, you see idolatry. In chapter 37, you have family jealousy, family hatred, betrayal, and the selling of a family member into slavery. And on it goes. Throughout the Old Testament, it just gets worse and worse and worse. In reading through the Old Testament, you read of such things over and over again, such as sexual defilements, genocide. You read it over and over in the Old Testament. Child sacrifice, cannibalism, absolutely horrible crimes. You read of cruelties, you read of disease. And of course, death is everywhere. Throughout the Old Testament, you read of plague upon plague, famine upon famine, disaster upon disaster. Quite a change from God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. The Old Testament is an illustration of good gone bad. It's an illustration of that. And Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 22, that it has been so up to this present time. The whole world groaneth and travaileth until now. Whole creation. This world today is anything but good. It has been anything but good throughout its history. Throughout the history of civilization, we see the cycle of sin. We see the cycle of rise and fall. Evolutionists and the so-called progressives live under the delusion that man is getting better. The idea is that man starts from simplicity and mutates upward. But from the authority of God's Word, man did not begin at the bottom of the moral ladder and rise higher. Man began at the top and he fell. And he has been plunging through the abyss of darkness ever since. creation and mankind is in a downward spiral. And it will continue to be so. It's been so since Genesis chapter 3. Again, the original creation, it was very good. There was no disorder, there was no chaos, there was no conflict. There was no struggle, there was no pain, there was no discord, there was no disease, there was no death. But throughout history, life has been defined by these things. But it wasn't so after the first 6 days of creation. Human life is a struggle. Everyone who lives knows that. It is a struggle plagued with hatred, plagued with selfishness. You don't believe that man is selfish? Just go out to the mall for 10 minutes. Plagued with pride and jealousy, covetousness and idolatry, rebellion and murder and stealing and lying and cheating and manipulation and deviation and distortion, perversion, betrayal, immorality, trouble, disasters, conflict, wars, crime, fears, errors of all kinds, confusion, poverty, starvation, homelessness, sorrow, misery, gloom, failure, disappointment, broken relationships, orphaned and abandoned and abused children, anxiety, disease, and death. That's where we live. Quite a change from Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. That's where we live again. So much so that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Again, concerning the original creation, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. But here we are, and everything is blighted. Everything is in a process of decay. That's what the climate change people, they don't understand a lot of things, but that's one thing they don't understand. Everything is in a process of decay. And everything is plunging toward death. The whole world, the whole creation is enslaved to corruption. And while man and society continues to get worse and worse, and in a rapid downward plunge and more ensnared in the abyss of darkness, the psychological and the sociological evolutionists continues on in their delusion that man is progressing upward. I mean, you've got to be blind. And that he has finally reached the place where he is basically good. And the evolutionist-minded people hold to and propagate that lie. They believe that man is not the problem. So how do you explain, Mr. Evolutionist, Mr. Progressive, how do you explain all the problems? Well, it's the environment. Man is okay. It's the environment. Fools. Looking at our text verses, God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. And the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. The entire creation in every aspect is collectively suffering. Everybody groans under the decay and under death. This is a massive change from Genesis 1:31. This is a complete reversal. So the question must be asked, how did this happen? How did this happen? Which brings us to Point number two, the cause. And I realize that everyone here hopefully knows the cause. The cause of this drastic change, this reversal, is very clearly and pointedly stated. Notice Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, talking about Adam, sin entered into or invaded the world. By one man, sin entered into the world. The result? And death. By sin. The result of that, and so death passed upon all men. The reason? For all have sinned. Sin entered into the world. The account of sin entering into the world, of course, is found in Genesis chapter 3. Which is the saddest, most tragic event in human history. Genesis chapter 3. But it is also foundational to understanding the world in which we live. It is declared in 1 John 3 and verse 4. We've already been told that sin entered into the world. You're given the details of that in Genesis 3. 1 John 3, verse 4, that sin is the transgression of the law. So if sin entered into the world, there had to be a law. That's found in Genesis chapter 2, by the way. We're not to partake of that tree. There was a law. Now for sin to enter into the world, that law had to be disobeyed. That law had to be transgressed. Sin entered into the world. It is the transgression of God's law. Throughout the Word of God, it is pictured. It is pictured as defiling. It is pictured as a pollutant. It is pictured as poison and a resistance of God. It is pictured as opposition against God, an actual uprising against God. When Adam and Eve partook of that fruit that God had forbidden, they disobeyed the commandment of God. And sin entered the world. They violated the law of God. They sinned. The result, Genesis 3, verse 7, their eyes are opened in a way that they weren't opened before, and this isn't a good thing. And they knew that they were naked. How did they know that? Because now, for the first time, they were beginning to have thoughts that were never there before. And they began to have feelings that were never there before. Feelings of shame and feelings of guilt. So what did they do? Well, they manufactured aprons. They sought to fix the problem. Man's been doing that ever since. They sought to cover their shame and their guilt. In Genesis 3, verse 8, you see them hiding from God. In Genesis 3, verse 17, you see the earth is cursed. And in chapter 3, verse 23, Adam and Eve are banished from the garden. Expelled. The life of the garden was lost. It was gone. It's been gone ever since. They sinned and now everything is different. The cause of the difference? Sin. Sin. Again, God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. He looked upon it all. He saw that it was good. There was no sin, but sin entered in. And we read in Ecclesiastes 7:29, again, God hath made man upright, but they, man, have sought out many inventions. God told Adam and Eve in Genesis 2 verse 17 that if they disobeyed, death would be the result. And we read there in Romans 5 verse 12, by one man entered into the world, and what? And death by sin. In Romans 6 verse 23, for all, for the wages of sin is death. What is death? Well, death is a separation. All death is a separation. With sin came spiritual death, a separation from God. With sin came physical death, a separation from the living upon earth. And with sin came eternal death. Eternal separation. This death, Romans 5 verse 12, passed upon or made its way to all men. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, in Adam all die. So in Adam, we became sinners. And we enter this world with a vile, rebellious, corrupt nature. The thought life, the emotions, the will, the behavior, it's all corrupt. We are corrupt sinners in Adam. And what do? Sinners sin. We are sinners in Adam. We were born sinners. And sinners sin. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. And we became sinners in Adam. And because all are sinners, all continued to sin. And the groans and the travail of creation continues by the day. The impact of by one man entered into the world and death by sin has touched every part of the universe. The entire world is infected by the plague of sin. Nobody escapes sin. It is accurate to say that everything wrong in the world is because man is a sinner. And because he is a sinner, he sins. Our culture does not want anything defined as sin. It's appalling to them. Because after all, man is now good. To a postmodern culture, everything is just a lifestyle choice. In a postmodern culture, they view everything as an addiction or an illness. This is how the world avoids the issue of sin. And the world has gone to Satan's dictionary to find new terms to dress up that three-letter word, sin. The synonyms of evil are now error. Well, they made an error. There was an indiscretion. man rapes a woman. Well, that was an indiscretion. Anything but sin. Lying is now propaganda and diplomacy. And liars are actually looked upon as people with creative ability. Adultery and fornication, which would have got you stoned in the Old Testament, and I don't mean high, is now a meaningful relationship or an affair, or again, an indiscretion. Pornography, smut, obscenity is freedom of expression. Adult entertainment. Homosexuality. God calls them sons of Belial, sons of Satan. And sodomites, referred to as gay. And the act of homosexuality, which God calls vile affections, the very thing that got the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah burned to ashes by a very angry God, today is called an alternative lifestyle. Those who pay to have their sons and daughters brutally murdered are defined by the phrase freedom of choice. Prodigal son today would be called a misdirected juvenile. He went into the far country and spending his substance upon harlots. Well, that's just normal. That's what kids do. He must be a victim of some traumatic experience. He must have grown up with lead paint or whatever. We must label him with some kind of syndrome. That's not the problem. The political correctness today, which is part of Satan's dictionary, is a curse. But the Bible calls sin poison. And it calls sinners serpents. Sin is referred to as vomit. And sinners are referred to as dogs who return to the vomit. Sin is referred to as the stench of graves. And sinners to rotten sepulchers. Sin is called mire. And sinners are called the pigs that wallow in the mire. But the world continues to plummet further and further into the abyss of darkness and sorrow and pain, confusion and delusion. Why? Because all of mankind are sinners and they continue to sin. And any accurate understanding of the way things are today in the world today demands an understanding of sin. Without this, there is no understanding of anything. Because sin has affected everything. The whole world, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. It is impossible to understand man's behavior if you do not understand this fact that it is all the product of sin. That man is a vile and corrupt sinner. There must be an understanding of that. Any accurate understanding of the way things are in the world demands an understanding of man as a corrupt and vile sinner. But our society, our culture rejects the idea of sin. So they have no explanation for why things are the way they are. They have no explanation. The issue is we have all inherited a vile and corrupt nature. And that just is not acceptable in the public forum. Man will not accept that today. And the failure to understand that leads to a glaring misdiagnosis of the problem. And that's what people do every single day. Man is a corrupt and vile sinner by nature, and therefore man sins. And this is the problem. This is the problem. Everything, if you do not understand sin, if you deny that man is a sinner, then everything else is misunderstood. Everything else is misread and misdiagnosed and becomes hopelessly incurable. Which brings us to the remedy. All of mankind since Adam and Eve are born sinners, and sinners sin. We inherited a corrupt and vile nature, a corrupt and vile disposition and state of existence from Adam and Eve. And no amount of education will fix that. No amount, no matter how civilized man thinks he's become, civilization does not have the answer. No amount of psychology will fix the problem. No amount of technology. All technology becomes corrupt. Why? Because men are sinners. People say all the time, well, there's nothing wrong with technology. No, that's true. But the problem enters in man. Man will ruin anything. And he has, and he will continue to do so. Well, Brother Dan, you realize, because I've come out and said things about Facebook, there's nothing wrong with Facebook. I realize that. But I also realize who uses Facebook? Sinners! And what do? They sin. And that's true of everything. Not just Facebook, it's true of everything. Television, radio, literature, doesn't matter. You enter man into the picture and it's ruined. And it becomes corrupt. There is only one remedy. You read of that remedy in Romans 5, verses 15 through 19. By one man, Adam, sin entered into the world. But also by one man, Jesus Christ, came the remedy. You know, mankind throughout history has maintained their confidence. This isn't new to our day. They have maintained their confidence in their own ability to somehow get back to Eden. I mean, man's not going to come out and tell you, what I want is to get back to the Garden of Eden. No, they don't know anything about the Garden of Eden. But you read what was going on in the Garden of Eden, that's what they want. They want happiness. They want unity. That's what they want, but that's gone. But man has always believed that somehow, by his own ability, he can regain that. President Wilson said in reference to World War I, I have done my utmost to avoid war. But war has come. But it's all right. Do not despair. This is the war to end all wars. And he believed that. And most people believe that. But if you know anything about human nature, you know that's not so. He said in 1918, I believe that men are beginning to see that which will lead us sometime to an elevation from which we can see the things for which the heart of mankind is longing. That's an evolutionist mind. That's not new to our day. It's more prevalent in our day. But it's not new. Man wants this place of concord. Man wants this place of happiness. But man is a sinner, And it is sin that causes creation to groan and be in travail. But there is a remedy. Amen. And there is only one remedy.
That's right.
And it's not found in man. There is only one way. And it's not found in man. It is Christ.
Amen.
When God banished Adam and Eve from the garden, He placed there in Genesis 3, verse 24, cherubims. Cherubims in the Old Testament always represent the presence and holiness of God. He placed in the east of that garden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way. The flaming sword representing the law and justice of God. To get back there, you have to satisfy the holiness of God. You have to get by the holiness of God, the justice, and the law of God. And there's only one way that can be accomplished, and that is Jesus Christ. Again, Romans 3, verse 9, all are under sin. Romans 3, verse 10, there's none righteous. Romans 3, verse 12, they're all gone out of the way. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The remedy is not in man. Man's the problem. But there is a remedy. The answer to the cherubim, the answer to the flaming sword, is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can meet the holiness of God. The only one who can fulfill the demands of the law of God. The only one who can satisfy the holiness and the demands and the justice of God. Jesus came to take the sin and the guilt of His people upon Himself. And in their place, He was smitten by that flaming sword. He was smitten by God. Because of Him, there is reconciliation, there is peace with God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the one and only remedy for a world that groans and travails. And all of creation will continue. And we read on there in Romans 8, and we see even God's people groan and travail in this world, but we have a better world coming. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. He's the one and only Savior of sinners. So what are you to do if you're here and lost? Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near." And in Hosea 10 verse 12, it is time to seek the Lord. And the reason it's time right now is because right now is the only time you have. Right now, it is time. Lost sinner, it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because this world will continue to groan and travail. The Bible teaches us very plainly that these things will only progress. And man will progress in his sins. But there is a remedy in Jesus Christ. And though you and I, the saved, it's hard when you walk around this earth not to travail, not to groan and travail at what you see. But again, we have something to look forward to.
That's right.
Romans 8, verse 23 tells us about that. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. You and I that are saved are going to be delivered from this groaning, this travailing. But never, ever, ever misdiagnose the problem. The problem is man is a sinner and man sins. And that those two common sinners and sin ruin, destroy that which God said was very good. God help us today to realize why things are the way they are. If you're here and lost,
that you might see your need of a Savior. And that the Holy Spirit might show you today that there is only one. His name is Jesus. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song, let's all stand.